What would you say you do here?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
Because you look like Freddy Krueger face fuck a topographical map of Utah.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Paul got his face fried again.
Again.
And you look like a topographical map of like
parts
like,
of Nevada.
Like northern Utah.
Northern Utah.
Yeah, it's not southern
not
Utah
so bad.
Anymore. No, it's really okay. Not so bad this time.
Well, this was 7 days. No, six
so
days ago.
Did you get this because you have AIDS?
No.
No.
I don't have AIDS.
You don't have AIDS.
No, it's,
not
a, it's,
yet.
The, it's
not
the,
for lack of trying.
Yeah, it's the PDT photodynamic therapy, which it sounds kind of pleasant when you put it that way.
Yeah, photodynamic therapy.
It's very dynamic.
It's going to make me more photodynamic, so, you know. You're trying to realize your dream of becoming an Instagram influencer? Is that it?
Yes. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop out. Yeah, what was in the 60s? Drop out, drop in, drop out. What was the phrase?
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Drop out. That's what I'm going to do.
Like, photodynamic therapy is one of those things where it almost sounds great.
Yeah.
It's kind of like waterboarding at Guantanamo Bay. Sounds incredible if you don't know what any of those things are.
Well, it kind of, some people do tap, they say that half the people tap out during the process.
Really?
I can only imagine, like, you know, the movie The Dentist, but it'd be like the dermatologist. There'd be someone screaming in the back room, you know, when they fire this thing up.
Oh, my God. I'm sure people do.
No, they do. No, the data is out there. About half the people tap out during the middle of it. They can't.
How long
is
the longest you've gone?
Well, it's what it is, folks, is that you have these pretty little cancer things, what they're called precancers, and I've had stuff hacked off me before. It's too much sun. It's sun damage in my case, Texas, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And this is before sunblock was really a popular thing.
Right.
So so it comes back to haunt you decades later, and it's doing me now. So dermatologists are very busy now with people my age and whatever. So part of this is there's different ways you can attack these things, and some are through nitrogen, you know, to freeze things off. You can cut some things off. You can burn stuff off. There's this cream stuff that you have to put on. And then one of the things is called photodynamic therapy, where the step one is to wash your face in acetone. That's fun.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So but I know what we have a lot of acetone here, so I know I'm kind of used to. I don't wash my face in it normally here, but so
that's not part of your skincare regimen is no. Washing your face with acetone.
But of course, people that deal in makeup, you know, mostly women, I suppose. But that's one of the makeup removers, right? It's kind of scented acetone. It comes in like a clear glass bottle.
No,
yeah, there is that. Oh, that's fingernail polish remover.
That's fingernail polish remover.
Not for your face.
No, micellar water or and various other like makeup removers.
I'm sorry.
Not acetone.
Do not put that on your face.
Holy
people.
Shit! Yeah, please don't put. Now we have to put disclaimers on the show.
Anyway, so the first thing you do is they wash your face to get all the oil of anything on there to clean your face. And then let it dry. It doesn't take long to dry. And then they have these little ampule things. They bust open because I guess the chemical mixes up. I think it's that they call it muriatic acid. That's not what it is.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding. Levulin. That's one of the trade names.
Levulin.
Levulin, which sounds nice.
Levulin sounds like cheap Lagavulin. Lanolin.
Right.
Name is Lanolin?
So it's like a thing. So they bust this thing, and there's like a little brush or like the little small, tiny sponge.
Yeah.
And then they find the worst-looking areas of your... Because also the acetone wakens up your face, as you can imagine. And anything that's a little bit wrong, it really, you know...
Yeah.
So they can take this liquid, this Levulin stuff, and kind of apply it on these areas.
Levulin. I'm Googling it.
Yeah. And then... But they also put it on your entire face, but they focus more of it on the bad spots. So now the key part is how long do you let it marinate, which would be not marinate, but incubate is the word. But it's also marinating, I suppose. and some are just a few minutes, and then some are – they used to do it overnight, which I can't believe. Like sometimes they would apply this on your face, you sleep, and then come back, and then they do the next step. But now they do it they don't do that anymore. And there's a lot of theories out there now to where you don't have to do it as long. But in my case, clean your face, put this Levulin, I think it's what it's called, on there, and let it incubate for about an hour. So they used to send me home and I would come back, but I said, just put me into a room. They have some rooms there at the office. Just,
yeah.
And I can entertain myself on my phone or something. So that's what you do. Then you put these goggles on, like suntan goggles, to stop UV from going in your eyeballs. And then the minute under the lamp, it's a certain frequency lamp, a curve. It's like a curved lamp like this with the bulbs going this way.
Yeah.
So you have your face in there.
Yeah.
And they fire it up. And that's always, I believe the number is 16 minutes and 45 seconds is what it is. That doesn't change. The intensity of the lamp doesn't change. The only thing that I am told what changes is the amount of incubation time that it soaks in. You know, that's the only variable. So you wait, and then you fire it up, and they put it 16 minutes and 45. And they come and check on you all the time to make sure you're not dead or going to tap out.
And didn't they used to, when you first started doing it, they had the, like, a cool air thing?
Yeah, they had this air conditioner, a little mini with a wand, and you would kind of blow on your face to cool it down. Well, they don't have that anymore. What they have, which I was disappointed when I didn't see that, well, they now just have a fan. It's like a decent little, you know, like a house fan on a stand, sort of,
yeah.
But it's decent. And then you just put that kind of in front of your legs and blowing up this way, and I thought, well, that's not going to get it compared to the air conditioner. It does pretty well, actually.
Oh.
So it's 16 minutes and 45 seconds, and then the first time I had it done, I've had it done four or five times, I guess. The first time I had it done, I don't know how many years ago it's been now. Holy shit. It's bad because they come in, they fire it up, and I go, wow, that's painful. And it feels like these needles poking on you, and then you can feel them over time, over minutes. You can feel them getting deeper. Like, you can feel, it's literally almost like a needle is going, and it's going in there. What it's doing, if you read all about it when you're really bored of nothing better to read, It's bursting the bad cells. It's killing those cells.
Oh,
the labeling is doing something. It's attacking these little precancer cells, and it's popping them somehow. And that's what you're feeling, like these needles going in there. That's what it feels like. So,
that sounds terrible.
It is. It is.
But
terrible.
It's effective and minimally invasive. I know it's painful.
Yeah.
But it's not actual cutting. You know.
No. And the deal is that you can get it done in one and done. Bam, you're done. Now it's got to heal for, you know, 10 days or something like that. As opposed to this Effudex cream stuff, you have to put it on your face for 2 weeks, and then it takes another week or two to heal. So
right.
You can do that at home. It's less painful, but it's not really, because in the middle of it, when it's really doing its thing, your face is really bad looking, and it's dry and tight, and you have moisturizers you put on there. And this is kind of the same thing. Maybe it's not quite as effective, but you're done with it. You know, 15
yeah.
or an hour, 15 minutes. You're done. Now you can start healing. So I opted for that.
And then you start running around scaring kids like it's Halloween.
Right. And my sister's dermatologist won't even do that. She goes, yeah, I'm not going to have that option because it's just too painful. So back to my first story, when I first had it done, and they fired it up and went, holy cow. I said, is that normal? She goes, yep, that's what it is. She goes, if you want to punch out, I said, no, I'm not. If this is normal, and I'm, you know, whatever. So then they, okay, we'll be back in a couple minutes. Then she leaves and comes back, and she goes, how do you feel? And I went, okay, do not turn anything off, but I really want to make sure. This is pretty bad. You know, this is really feeling like, I said, are you sure the settings are right as this is going on?
Is someone in here with a blowtorch? Excuse
right,
me,
something
ma'am.
Wrong.
Did I do something to
did
hurt you?
Did you grab the wrong bottle of...
Did my ancestors wrong your ancestors? Did you swear some sort of edict of pain on me?
And so they're kind of not laughing, but they're like, no, there's no... It's the same bulb. There's no settings change. Is it what it is? And she goes, people do punch out. They do stop it because it's painful. And I went, she goes, do you want to do that? Nope. I said, so long as, look, it just feels like when I walk out of here, my face is going to slide off my skull. That's what it's starting to feel like. You know, like we talked about this before, like the Raiders of the Lost Ark when the Ark gets opened up.
Oh, God, how the Nazis' faces melt off. Yeah,
that's I think I said something. This is like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You fucking described it exactly as such.
Yeah.
It's like I looked at the Ark of the Covenant.
But these attractive, perfect-skinned young ladies in there probably don't even know what that movie is because they're probably that young. You know what I mean? They're
don't
probably...
discount the younger crowd. Sometimes they know stuff.
Okay. These are great movies, though, as you know.
Yeah, no, of course awesome. I do. I know this.
I know.
And they probably know this, too.
So anyway,
because
so
they're
this
young
is like
and attractive
the
doesn't mean they're
dumb. Fourth or fifth time. It's not as painful now. And as you pointed out, of course, it's been a few more days. It's not. I didn't take pictures. The last time I took photographs, do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Frightening fucking photographs.
Very much so.
So anyway, so I had it done on Thursday. It'll be a week this Thursday. And you did look at it closer, and you can see there is peeling that's happening.
Oh, yeah, peeling is starting to happen.
This, as a side benefit, it does get rid of some other older skin, and your face overall looks better anyway.
Dude, I remember the first time you had it done, because you had, or at least since I've known you, the first time you had it done since I've known you, once it was, first off, it was really bad. You were race car red.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think I saw you like 2 days later.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You don't want to go out in the sun.
Right.
They say like 3 days if you can do it. Just don't go out and get any other UV. Because the chemical still keeps reacting with other light, too. So they say just stay away from the light. You know, turn into a vampire, you know, or whatever during the day.
Now, that first time I saw you after you had it done, after a few days where the swelling had gone down, holy shit. I was like, God damn. You weren't fucking lying.
Oh, yeah.
But then after it healed up, you looked 10 years younger, which is, I mean, you're still pushing 70, but like, you know.
I'm getting close to octogenarian status now.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So, anyway, so that happened. And I want to get it done. Here's another one reason I wanted to get it done, too, because I'm going to have my picture taken for an ATF license, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's cool.
People going, really, Paul, ATF? Is that where you're going now? Did we talk about that?
I don't think so.
So I'm not going to do firearms. There's different categories.
He's doing the explosives.
Doing rocket motors and explosives, or I don't know what the category. They don't have a separate category for that, but it is a rocket motor.
Yeah, which is funny because it's not that much. I don't think it's any bigger. In fact, I know it's not bigger because I've seen them. Yeah, it's not any bigger than, that's like medium. That might be like on the higher end, like the medium high end of what model rockets use. Because there's a class of model rockets that are like a foot and a half tall and probably 5 inches in diameter.
You mean
the engine or the motor? Yeah, the motor. Yeah,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
They call them, it's
called a rocket motor.
Right.
Yeah, which
and
is weird.
There's
no
history
moving
of
parts.
STs, by the way. You know what STs rockets?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
You can go on the internet and there's 30. You can go on the internet and check these things out, Joe. Did you know that?
You know that there's things on the internet other than porn and gore images of your face?
There is, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a 30-minute thing on the history of ST's model rocketry, and I'm looking at that going, that sounds like I'm going to watch that.
That sounds like something that's right up my alley.
Right, so it's a really interesting history. It's a family thing. This kid started out, and anyway. But they did talk about some of the bigger stuff and some of the licensing, because the government didn't know what to do with this in early on. These kids are firing rockets all over the place. So it's like back in the 50s and 60s, you know, very popular.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. So anyhow.
The rocket motor that launches the parachute.
That yanks the parachute out of the Cirrus.
What's it called? The LARP system? No, it's not LARP system.
The CARP.
CARP, there we go.
That's the MAGA system. No,
the MAGA system.
It's the...
Make Airbus great again.
It's the in the Cirrus, it's CAPS.
CAPS, there we go.
Cirrus Airframe Parachute System.
Yeah, so to dumb it down for us lay people, there's a rocket shoots out the top of the airplane.
And drags a big parachute that's all packed real tightly out of it, and the whole airplane floats down.
And in order for you to be certified to replace those, you have to be like registered by the ATF.
Because the thing is a rocket, big freaking rocket motor.
Yeah.
And I happen to have, I'm not supposed to. No one's going to listen to this that cares.
I really think we need to rig that up somehow. And is it electrically activated, right?
Well, it has the same similar type of fuse, but it's bigger that you'd cram up. If you were playing around with the ST's rockets,
where
you shove the little wire up in there, and you put
hook it up to battery. A 12-volt battery. What are those things?
It's a 12-volt battery.
Is it 12-volt?
Cube thing?
Yeah, the cube deals. Yeah, they go in
the little switch, bonk, and it.
Yeah.
And that's a super, that only works because the fuse on the end of the little tiny wires, it's super hot. It's much hotter than just fire or flame.
Right.
It's a couple thousand degrees or something.
It's igniting magnesium, which is
what this is, too.
Yeah.
So, and it's a big freaking rocket motor. They show you when you go under school to learn how to do these things, they show you how safe they are. They have there's two different components you got to put together, and then the fuse burns this one. But they show you with like a torch or in matches. With the fuel, you cannot catch it on fire. It's not possible.
No, it's like diesel fuel.
Right. So so you have to so when you ship these things, you literally ship the components separately. Like when they ship them to you, like it's in a separate box, a separate shipment. You know, they make sure they don't even come close. So part of the deal is when you replace the old rocket motor, because every 10 years they got to come out, you have to send them back to the factory, and then in order to handle these rocket motors, you have to be have an ATF license on some level, and they have to come out and inspect your stuff. The police or the county has to come out. You have to have a certain kind of certified container that's controlled with, you know, only some people have to know who has the lock, and yes, it's got to be a certain kind of thing. If it goes off, it's not gonna, you know, cause a fire or any kind of, so that has to happen too. So that's coming up. It's a little bit of a process to do all the stuff legally. So there you have it. Then we'll be able to place parachute systems in Cirruses, because they need places like this desperately. You know, all these places are behind, really behind, because, and if everybody's not asleep by now, it's every 10 years. They've been making Cirruses now for 25 years. So that means all the first ones that are 10 years old are under their second, approaching their third replacement now. But at the same time, the ones that are 10 years old are being replaced now. And then you have brand new rocket motor manufacturing getting installed. So it's an exponential problem. So all the old ones are going to have to be replaced. And so it's going to get more and more and more. And these facilities that can do this are not cropping up that fast. So they're all going to be busy. So I could probably build a separate hangar out here and just do Cirrus parachute rocket replacements.
Maybe you should.
Maybe.
Do you have to? Well, I mean, we can talk about that. We don't have to talk about this now, but
yeah.
Replace the whole system.
The parachute's got to get replaced too. Parachute, the igniter, and the rocket itself.
But not the straps. You don't have to rip the skin
the
or anything like that.
The straps stay in there. Yeah, on the side of the fuselage that you can't see, those stay in.
Oh, okay. So
at some point, they probably do have to be replaced, but no one has decided when yet.
It's not a huge undertaking to do it.
No, it's bigger with the older ones like mine that are sitting out there right now, because the There's a cover panel that goes over the parachute right behind the rear seat, you know, behind the rear window, that's bonded on with weak adhesive, and that's how the parachute comes out of there when you deploy the chute or when you replace it. Do you got to crack that thing open and peel that panel off and extract the parachute from the top? Then you got to put a new panel on and bond it on and fill it in and do a bunch of paint work. Not a bunch, but some.
But some, yeah.
And then at some point, it's so funny, because the rear main bulkhead that's right in front of that has a pretty good sized hole in it, but it's just a little bit smaller than the parachute. And then someone said, hey,
engineers.
If we make this hole just a little bit bigger, we could extract the parachute from inside the airplane and not have to bust it out of the top. And they went, oh, okay.
I can't believe no one thought of that.
I don't know if they got all excited
and their dicks all hard because they're like, hey, we're going to put a parachute.
That's awesome.
On a plane. That's fucking awesome. And we're going to have this hole that's useless.
Right. That's close to the size of the parachute. And that's how you get to the rocket motor. And so you can inspect the igniter.
It's like
stuff.
A carnival game you can't win.
Exactly.
It's like the top of the bottle is a little bit too big to get the ring on the top of it.
Or the diameter of the basketball hoop is exact size of the basketball.
Yes.
So you can't get it in there. So anyway, not that many years, maybe the second year or third year after they started making them, then you can extract it out that way. So they keep tolling out older airplanes anyway, so eventually those are all going to go away, probably. People keep crashing them Cirruses. Anyway, that would be, and you want to kind of have a cleaner area, so I would want to probably do it in a different building if I could.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, the trade name is Levelin.
Leveler Blinds?
No.
Not Leveler.
It is actually amino levulinic acid.
Okay.
It's an endogenous, non-protogenic amino acid. It is the first compound in the porphyrin synthesis pathway, the pathway that leads to hemoglobin in mammals, as well as chlorophyll in plants.
Well, I got to tell you, when you first do it, it reaches right down into your hemoglobin because it really...
It really grabs you by the hemoglobin.
It's painful.
Oh, my God.
Did it talk about that? That's the skin thing? Did you just looked it up?
I just looked up I don't know. And this is something that's in your body normally. It's endogenous, right? So, like, it activates mitochondria, which is the powerhouse of the cell if you took any sort of biology.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said it. I believe it's bursting those cells. Soaks in there and it breaks them up when this certain wavelength of light they turn on and it starts. That's what hurts.
As a precursor of photosensitizer, 5-ALA, which is it's a abbreviated chemistry name,
okay,
is also used as an add-on agent for photodynamic therapy.
There you go.
Ugh. Okay, so they don't know exactly how it works, but they're pretty sure that it is predicted by computer simulations to be able to penetrate tumor cell membranes.
Okay. And if you're...
It's also used to detect cancer.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So anyway, I wanted to have it...
Anyway.
So back to the story. I wanted to have that done... You know, the last step before there's three different applications for ATF, and I got my fingerprints done, and the last thing I have to do is get a photograph. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna get my face fried first.
Did you hear if you passed your FBI background check?
Oh no, I did. I won't know because I gotta send in the application.
Photograph. I see, with the photograph.
Right. So I wanted to get my face fried again before that, and this wedding's coming up. So I thought, oh, I'll just do it before the wedding.
I like how you are rarely vain in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Except for
certain things.
FBI.
You want to make sure that the current photo in your FBI file
looks okay.
Looks good. You're like, oh, wow.
Because I'm thinking, just in case, you never know if you're going to be on the news.
Are you going to get a haircut and have it cut in color and styled?
I would say we're just getting a close crop, kind of like my concealed carry one looked like, if you ever saw that picture of me.
I did, and you look like a criminal.
Yeah.
You look like someone who conceals and carries.
This guy looks like he lives
into a bank.
In Northwest Arizona with that kind of haircut.
I bet they deny your application just based off your address. They're like, oh, we don't approve anything from the ATF in Mojave County.
Hey, didn't McVeigh live somewhere around there?
He's like, we can't do it because of the McVeigh issue. Sorry.
That's a lot of people running there probably have ATF... machine gun kind of gunnery machine gun thing.
Oh yeah.
And of course all the people that sell firearms at stores.
Yeah, they have their FFLs and all that.
So
another thing we need to talk about is that incredible concoction that you made with Coke Zero and cold brew coffee.
So the deal is, we talked about this too because I saw this a couple years ago. I don't see it on the shelves now though. I don't think it was in a smaller European, like a skinny, smaller can.
So I looked it up. The coffee with Coca-Cola.
It was
initially released in 2017 in Japan.
Okay,
and then
I saw some
brought
here
it to the United States
that,
in 2021.
I wonder if it's still around in the store. I don't think I've seen it
I haven't seen it in forever.
But I bought it when that sounds tasty. And then you could get a vanilla Coke with coffee also.
That sounds good.
I remember buying those. And I went, this is pretty damn good. But I don't think you could buy it sugar-free or Coke Zero it. Anyway, so I drink Coke Zero occasionally. And I'm doing cold brew coffee now because it's summer is approaching. And I remembered that. So I just put them together. And it tastes kind of chocolatey. And I had Joe try it. And he goes, that's damn good.
That's really good.
Actually.
And it would juice you the fuck up.
Oh, yeah.
And then imagine drinking alcohols with it.
And then you found some drinks. They have them in Australia.
Australia, the coffee with Coca-Cola and vodka is called a Mr. Black.
It's not called the didgeridon't?
That's not called the didgeridon't. That's fucked up. Every time I see Leonard, he comes up with a way to bring that shit up and make that reference.
It's not the didgeridon what? The didgeridoo.
It's a didgeridoo. Don't ask me that question again. I asked him if he was an Aborigine.
So I'm thinking I might enjoy this beverage with a little Tito's or, like you suggested, maybe like a spiced rum.
Yeah.
That might go good in
there. In fact, I have a rum at my house right now. It's Siesta Key coconut rum.
We should do that and just have several clear or you might even miss some brown liquors and just do a little experimenting and line them all up and have people come over
and just get people
and we'll just say wasted jacked up and slurry.
Yeah. To be fucked up. I can tell you back to the old days of the proper Four Loko that had and it was basically an energy drink with malt liquor and it was like 9% or 10% alcohol. And I loved them. I drank two of them one time in a sitting. They came in 24-ounce cans. I drank two of them, and it was summertime, and my swamp cooler, the belt started to, squeal.
Mm-hmm. And which just, is not uncommon for those things.
Yeah, and yeah. It pissed me off. So I'm all fucked up on Four Loko, getting up on my roof, having a great time. And I'm like, oh, you know what I should do? I should replace these pads. So I went to I had gone to Home Depot earlier in the week and got a big roll of the Swamp Cooler padding material. Okay. Yeah. And I'm all fucked up on my roof. People are coming over to my house for like a party. Mm-hmm. And they're like, where's Joe? Like, hey, I'm up here, guys. What's up? Can you toss me a Four Loko? And like, you don't need a fucking Four Loko.
You mean like so your eighth into one? A, no.
Yeah, right? Fuck, man. Oh, God damn it, though. The come down was so bad with all a lot of sugar, a lot of alcohol, and a lot of caffeine.
So I remember when I was driving up to Maine all the way through from Georgia without nonstop.
You decided to drive the Appalachian Trail instead?
It was 1,270 miles nonstop by myself. I partook in several... What are those things? What's the twice the sugar and all the caffeine or
Jolt.
Twice the caffeine? Jolt, yeah. Those are terrible, by the way.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're awful tasting, but I had a bunch of those on the way up.
Surprise. I liked them in Boy Scouts because, like, two of them on, a 9-mile hike,
mm-hmm.
like a moderately difficult hike,
mm-hmm.
just put you right where you want to be.
Yeah.
At 14, you're just burning off the sugar anyway, but yeah. It was, like, you know, double the caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it tastes like it. Caffeine doesn't taste good, and it tastes like caffeine.
It tastes bitter. Yeah.
So there's the new summer drink of the this the 2024
the, yeah, the
summer
2024 drink.
Drink
of the summer
would be Coke Zero and cold brew coffee, and add a little splash of alcohol in there if you like.
A little bit of alcohols.
So I think we should do that.
Yeah, I might have to make some cold brew.
Yeah, and we can have a little party.
Yeah.
So this, what was I going to say? There's another thing about that or something else real quick. I forgot what it was. But I'm in a pretty good spirits, Joe, because of that. Warmer weather is here. I'm sure you're happy about that, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that project outside is just about goddamn done.
Yeah.
It's looking nice and flat. It looks like the salt flats up there. It's looking like a dry lake bed
it's
out there.
So it's so nice. Yeah. It looks nicer out there with the compacted dirt right before they're getting ready to put the asphalt down. It looks nicer out there now than it did when it was still paved and fucked up.
Yeah, it does. It really does. All the weeds coming through, all the cracks and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be probably weed-free for
a long time.
It's
going
to be 4 inches now of asphalt.
Yeah.
Before they didn't even put close to 4 inches down. You know, 4 inches of asphalt on top of, I don't know. I don't know how long that would take to have weeds come through.
It'll take a while for it to even crack, I would think.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, and I know this is a long time coming for you.
Yeah.
15 years.
It's going to be lovely to be able to not damage aircraft propellers going in and out and having to do like a road race taxiing over around the bumps and shit.
Yeah.
That was bad. You know, I'm sure I got very close to some of those bumps with my tips of the propeller because my propeller is kind of low. Sorry, Paul, your propeller's low. I get it. You know, airplane
you have
problems.
One of those droopy propellers.
Yeah. Well, it's not. That model of Cirrus is the earlier one. It sits a little bit lower on the ground than the later versions.
I thought you lowered it, maybe.
I wanted to lower it, put some curb feelers, and have it bounce. Boom. Boom
have, like,
boom.
Really cool, like a topless Mexican lady, like, airbrushed on the side of it.
That would be pretty funny.
You could bring it down to chilling on Beale Street.
So, Joe, we're getting close now. We need to start thinking about ramping up our marketing, which is zero. So ramping up is not going to be much of an effort. You know, the ramp will be just anything.
I'm getting out of breath just thinking about ramping it up.
would be because this will pretty soon we can have B, C, D, E, and F listers from talent.
I can't wait for the F listers. I want somebody who played an extra on Little House on the Prairie. Like,
that'd be great.
Here. Like,
they could taxi right up, right there, and the door could be open. And they could come right in with their private big wheel or whatever they have.
Their private big wheel.
And you know what I mean? There could be there are people that would not taxi on this surface that I know. There were customers.
No
people. They wouldn't do it.
No.
Now they're going to be able to anybody. We can call up. Like I said, we're going to start having to market to the. Have you seen the new shit that's going on in Vegas now? This train is going to be breaking ground on the train between L.A. and Vegas.
Yeah.
And there's some of their big fucking – there are going to be a lot of people that are close by.
The Hollywood thing. There's going to be a giant entertainment complex with studios and
I think
Stan Winston's Creature Effects. Like, that company is already talking about relocation to Nevada. because of all the work that we'll be doing. It's like a $3 billion project.
We need to be the spatula that scrapes the residue.
Yeah.
to get some of the C, D, E, and F listers to be on the podcast.
I'd really like to get...
Cartoon Casual is like, the spatula scraping the residue.
We're the spatula scraping...
The remnants.
Deglazing the fond, as it that, were.
That's what we're doing. I'm sorry, you were saying...
We should try and get, like, Jared from Subway.
Why not? That would be
fun. I don't know, because he's a fucking child molester and he's in prison.
Oh, that's why not. I'm sorry.
No, he's I don't think he molested kids. I think he was in possession of child pornography. Which
well,
there,
so was Pete Townsend.
So was Pete Townsend, but he was writing a book about it.
Is that really, really, really real?
He did put out a book about it.
We had to.
That's fucked up.
I mean, so...
Yeah, but he wrote God. You Better, You Bet.
You Bet, You Better. You Better.
You Better.
You Better, You Bet.
That's a great song. You get one. Or what's the other one? Let My Love Open the Door. You get a pass for certain things with
oh,
me.
Oh, because he made that song. Because he wrote the song, you're saying? Yeah, who was the main writer of the earlier stuff? Like, you know... Who are
Why
you?
Why are you asking me?
I don't know. I should know who
you're
wrote
the super fan.
I think they all wrote. I think that Daltrey was the main writer, I think, if I recall now, and Townsend.
Really?
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I always thought it was Pete Townsend.
That wrote
I thought Roger Daltrey was just the voice in the face. It's as sure as fuck as a Pete Townsend. John Entwistle wasn't exactly a looker either.
No, I think... But I remember reading a lot of songs when the album, with you fold into the unfold the albums. Look, I think a lot of them were kind of involved. I think that you're right about Townsend. You know, he's like, Paul McCartney and what's his name? The guy got shot, John Lennon. That's him.
Principal songwriter, Peter Dennis Blandford Townsend.
Okay. Wow, a four-namer.
Is the co-founder, guitarist, second lead vocalist, and principal songwriter of The Who.
Okay, you're right, and I knew he was heavily involved, but for some reason I thought I saw...
You ever heard of Roger Daltrey's solo work having any hits?
Yeah, actually, he did, and it wasn't that good.
No, having any hits.
I would say no.
No. Pete Townsend, though.
Yes.
Multiple, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's where I pulled it from, because I didn't know Roger Daltrey put out any solo albums until the past... 2 days,
yeah.
Because I cleaned.
You're working with albums.
Working with albums. Like, holy shit, another Roger. Like, who's this chick? Is that Carole King? No, that's Roger Daltrey in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, what a beautiful man.
He was attractive.
Fuck yeah, yeah.
He's
chiseled,
like a Greek-looking goddess, dude,
and always tan.
Always tan.
Like, how are you an Englishman that tans like that?
He was. Yeah, how does that happen? And he wore probably the tightest pants ever.
Yeah,
ever.
Like. Oh my God, I lost. Who's the other blonde dude?
With tight pants?
Robert Plant.
Oh,
Robert
yeah,
Plant, I thought I was like, that's unnecessary. That's
and
like.
Think about this. This is before they had all the magic fabrics that are partially stretchy that'll really conform well.
Yeah, this is denim that's broken in.
Uncomfortable.
And very uncomfortable.
In,
yeah. Gross.
Yeah, that's pretty. They were showing their, their packages.
Yeah, the whole fucking kit and caboodle.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yes, but Daltrey is an attractive. He's an attractive man,
and he knows it. And he puts his there's two of his solo albums I just put out on the shelves in the past day, and I'm like, they're both the cover is just his face. And his hair. That's it. There's nothing else on the cover.
You have to think about it, too, because people say, there's who's the little short guy that sang for Black Sabbath that died a few years
Ozzy?
Ago? No, no, this is a guy.
I was like, Ozzy didn't die, and he's not that short?
No. It wasn't.
Dio, Ronnie James Dio.
Because he had a good rock and roll voice. But if you really think about it, and it's kind of pop rock and then rock and roll, Daltrey had a killer fucking rock and roll voice, really.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he could nail some shit and carry, a long fucking winded note. I mean, he's got to be one of the top vocalists for rock and roll.
Absolutely.
He must be.
He's in the top 10 frontmen of all time for me.
Yeah.
It goes Freddie Mercury and then a mile and then everybody else.
Yeah.
But Roger Daltrey's up there and I wish I would have seen them, especially in their prime, like mid 70s.
That he nails that fucking best I ever. Would these be most
that
rock
song's
and
ruined for me because it was on like a Big Lots commercial or something.
Oh yeah,
Maybe it was Ford or some shit like that. That was Ford's answer to "Like a Rock."
Oh my God!
And I think it was like or like a Toyota-thon when that comes around.
Yeah,
25 times a year, lowest prices. You called out a bargain, and I'm like, oh yeah, the Toyota-thon.
Yeah, that
back.
Was how much money these guys get for doing this. I mean, did they really have to?
I'd buy
this?
A house with that money. I get it. I totally get it.
Okay.
I used to be. Mostly because when I started really getting into music, I got into punk rock because it was simple, it was easy, and it was like 1994. I was 13. That's when Green Day dropped Dookie.
And you could kind of fuck some shit up, and people still loved it in the audience. You could kinda,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was very simple. It was fun. It was a lot of it was like kind of trivial, childish lyrics. And for a kid who's like 13 to 15. Yeah, who really desperately wants to say "fuck you, mom and dad"?
Right.
It just makes perfect sense,
right?
And the older I get, the more I'm starting to realize that my attitude towards other music that came out around that time, it put me at a real disservice because in back of my mind, I'm like, I don't fucking like the Goo Goo Dolls. Why? Because they fucking suck. That's why. Why would you listen to what they suck?
That's why.
It's
they
fucking.
Suck.
They suck. They suck. That's why I don't listen to the fucking Goo Goo Dolls.
So you,
Iris. Get the fuck out of here!
Oh, who's but worse, them or Nickelback? If you had to pick one to listen to,
well, here I'm getting to a point though.
Okay.
Like, so I don't think that way about the Goo Goo Dolls anymore.
Oh,
because I used to, and then I did some self-examination why I didn't like the Goo Goo Dolls, and it's just because they came around at a time where I wasn't listening to stuff on the radio for the most part. I was listening to stuff on like modern rock, like alternative radio,
okay.
or college stations,
sure.
And, like, if all the popular girls who called me fatty or whatever or never gave me a time of day, if all they listen to is a certain artist, then fuck that artist. They suck. That was a childish way of looking at it.
Just sort of the rebellion.
Problem, the problem is that
whatever.
It permanently wired that opinion in my head for, like, 30 years. And
right.
now I'm like... actually, the Goo Goo Dolls aren't fucking bad. They're not bad at all.
I don't think they're
really
bad.
They're pretty good. Nickelback, I will always and forever make fun of them, just because it's easy. It's low hanging fruit.
I don't think they suck that bad, to be
they
honest.
They don't, and I've seen them live. And what they were trying to do is bring back 80s style hair metal rock stars.
Oh, they
but
were
with generic dad rock. Yeah,
that's true.
Because I went to see I don't know if you remember Seether. They're one of those bands, like Seether, Hinder.
Hinder, yes.
And Hinder was the band that I really wanted to see because they're I think they're from Florida. Or
hit they had, the Hinder?
Lips of an Angel.
That's Hinder?
I think so. Yes. Yes.
Okay, yeah, I had that on my you know, we see my iPod.
They also did a
iPod.
Cover of Simple Man. They did a cover of Simple Man that was...
Pretty good job?
Yeah, because of production value, it was... better than Skinner did it.
Okay.
Because it was faithful to the original, because they're like kind of paying tribute. They didn't cover it to make money. It was like a B-side.
Yeah, but Skinner knew how to end their careers by getting a plane crash. So they really
did. Especially
they went all in with a fucking catastrophe.
Jesus. So anyway.
Go ahead.
My girlfriend at the time, about 2006 or 2007, she wanted to go see Hinder, and I was like, she's like, oh, they're playing on this date. I'm like, cool, get the tickets, let's go. And House of Blues, that's awesome. Except they were opening for Nickelback.
Oh.
I was like, fuck. I found that out the day.
Well, you could leave.
The day of. Well, that was the thing. I said, listen, if they suck, I'm leaving.
Oh,
because it's just generic fucking bad garbage rock. Like, they have one formula. It works, and they crank out hits.
It's true.
So, and I'm like, I'm still kind of in a fuck you phase. I'm like 25 at that point. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I like what I like. Don't tell me my business. But we went there. Seether and Hinder were great, especially Hinder, because they played like half acoustic, like blue acoustic blues.
That's cool.
And then the rest of it was like extremely loud southern rock with a heavy blues influence, like Allman Brothers Band,
okay.
or even like 38 Special. Mm-hmm. And they were incredible. And then Nickelback came on, and they're like, all right, motherfuckers, this tour has been sponsored by Jägermeister. And they're just like throwing plastic bottles of Jägermeister into the crowd. They've got bar spouts on the 1 liter bottles of Jägermeister.
You're saying full mini bottles of Jägermeister.
Mini bottles.
And
yes.
Throwing them out there in the audience.
They were plastic. Yeah, I caught one.
Okay.
And my girlfriend and I split it.
Okay.
Yes. And then in between songs, they would have like the singer and then like a guitarist. I think their bassist did it at one point. They had like these this cooler with probably 20 of the 1 liter, not the 750 mil, but the 1 liter more rounded bottles
of Jaeger.
Of Jaeger, okay. With the bar spout on the top of it.
Okay.
And they would just go in the front row and have everybody open their mouths and just dump it in. Girls, guys, everybody in between. And then they're like, all right, we're going to take a break and introduce the band, and we got a surprise coming up for you. And then they had women come out, shit you not, in like cut-off booty shorts and bikini tops that were barely there. Look, we're talking Panama City Beach, spring break 1990 type of bikini, bikini top. And they had T-shirt cannons. Like you had a fucking NASCAR
race.
They
were launching that shit out.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And they're like, the more titties we see, the more shirts you guys get. And they're all, foomp, foomp, foomp. And it's just a sea of breasts. I turn around, and I'm with a woman who, I will say this, we broke up under horrible fucking circumstances.
Right.
She hates me. I did nothing wrong to her.
Right.
Her life has gone to shit, but there's one thing I can tell you about that woman. She had one of the best pairs of boobs
so
I've
ever
seen in her
entire life.
So
she let him free.
She let him free, and I was like, oh, shit. So I went like this. I kind of like was like, oh, she's pulling the big titties out. All right, awesome. Well done, Alex. And then I turned
and you
around.
Said, thank you, Nickelback.
Yeah, thanks, Nippleback. Nickelback. Whatever. And there's a sea of boobs everywhere, including dudes that had pulled their shirts up, which was
hilarious.
Even funnier. And I'm like, what the fuck am I? How did I shit on these guys?
Like, free, they're throwing liquor out,
keeping in mind, I didn't
getting boobs to come out.
I didn't have a pubescent or post-pubescent daughter at the time. Portia would have been about 6 or 7. So my opinion on that kind of stuff changed later on when I'm like, ah, there's a whole sea. Like, ah, I still like breasts and love bare breasts. But that's a whole sea of somebody's daughter.
I'm sure during the sea of boobs when they played Rockstar or whatever at that point.
They went right into Rockstar.
Yeah,
they that's
had
exactly
to at that point.
What they did.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of cool that they were trying to, like, I think maybe they're trying to, like, take, show people that we may have this sanitized image,
right,
but we're not that sanitized. Plus, I feel like Canadian rockers, like, they're always fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's never been a bad popular Canadian rock
That's
band.
True.
They just don't exist.
Yeah.
And but I feel like they've always been closet rock stars. Like, the guys in Rush. You never heard about the guys in Rush just, quote-unquote, drowning in pussy. You never heard about that.
No.
But if you read a little bit further into it, they were just really good at concealing it because there were tons of Rush groupies. Most Rush groupies were sweaty, late teen, early 20 guys that played Dungeons and Dragons and read Lord of the Rings on repeat.
Yeah. And they're always reserved, too. If you see any interviews with them, they don't play up the rocker.
They're not doing fat rails of coke off of the interviewer's, like, nightstand that they're, you know, in the hotel room.
Right.
But, yeah, it was funny to see Nickelback like that. And I had more respect for them because they were actually putting on a show. And they played for, like, they were on stage for 2.5 hours. They only had three albums at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have 2.5 hours worth of material.
I have a legal question. Can you, obviously they did,
oh,
but was it legal to just throw alcohol out there? Because they're not selling
it. With a closed container? Probably not, but it's Las Vegas and they're Nickelback.
Right, and no one's going to arrest them.
Yeah.
A band was arrested for having alcohol.
Like, and that band was Nickelback. And people would be like, is this The Onion? This isn't even real.
I'm just curious, because they were pouring in people's mouths, and then they're throwing out the bottle, or the mini bottles. I'm thinking, okay, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It was a ton of fun, and I couldn't believe that we stayed for the entire show. I'm like, this is crazy. And then my girlfriend, who's normally kind of, she wasn't so much, like, she was kind of the jealous type, but it was mostly because she never really thought I was looking at other women, but if there was ever a chance where there's somebody else's breasts are going to be out, I'm going to be under scrutiny.
Sure.
Because there's glancing, there's looking, there's taking it in, and then there's being gross.
Right.
And amazingly enough, after that, and she's like, I saw you turn around after you saw me whip out my boobs. You turn around.
How can you not?
And I was like, well, I was already turning around because she was standing to my right.
Right.
And I panned to the right, and then they had turned the house lights on real bright on the audience, and it was just like nothing but nipple.
It
was
the
like
women that
2,
were there,
nipples.
What percentage of 80. The women, 80%?
At least 80. if not more than that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of boobs.
It was a lot of boobs because it was the floor, because the floor at the House of Blues in Vegas kind of slopes toward the stage. Mm-hmm. So, and we were up in like second row.
This is before cell phones?
No, but it was pre-decent cell phone cameras.
And it was also pre-smartphone network.
For the most. As
right
far
around
as,
there.
As far as mobile uploading, yeah, for the most part. Yeah, for the most part.
I was going to say.
It wasn't as prevalent nearly, even 5 years later. It was way more. Within 4 years, you had really, Facebook, Instagram, all that.
Yeah.
But she and I were talking about it after the show because we drove back that night and I was like, I'm so shocked. I'm not shocked about how good Hinder was.
Right.
Because I had a feeling that they were, because they've been a bar band for like 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys have been playing together solid for 12 years. You're either good or you kind of quit before then, usually.
Right.
But I was super shocked at how good Nickelback was and how good of a show they put on. They're trying to bring back like kind of whole excessive rock star thing and all that.
Well, it's kind of become a meme, shall we say. It's the thing to do is to hate Nickelback.
It's the thing to do. Now, do I still think that they have very generic shit? Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
But they're decent songwriters. They are the sole songwriters. I don't think they hire outside people at all.
Right. Well, it's kind of like AC/DC is very formulaic.
They founded a formula and they kind of stuck with it.
Three chords, I'm guessing.
Pete and I were just talking about that yesterday. And you can't really hate on them for it because they have way more houses than I do. So
right.
But I also, that's my funny Nickelback story that is, I like still to this day, I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen that many breasts at one time. Mm-hmm. In like a 15 second time frame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, holy shit. There's a lot of women in here.
It was also
funny
too, in their video, Rockstar, there's a lot of famous people in that video. They got to do that.
Yeah.
A lot. I'm going to watch that video. I'm going to do during the break or after this show, I'm going to watch Rockstar, the video. And, that guy's in there. She's in there. Check that out. You know, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's going to be a lot of, Vegas is re-ramping and like that they're building another big upward surge for Vegas. I think it's going to be nuts. I think that there's more shows, more things, more whatever.
They have to do something after Vegas was starting the gambling portion of Vegas has been suffering and in decline for 15 years or more. Then the pandemic hit and that hit them hard.
Yeah.
Like real hard.
And that's why they're kind of shifting, they're kind of reinventing themselves. There's more sports stuff and
entertainment,
more shows, and the Sphere is getting some good stuff in there too. I think, it's losing money. Well, yeah, but they've got shit going on in there inside the Sphere.
I don't know that it's losing money. It's not going to make, it's not making money
right
in the traditional sense because it costs a couple fucking $1 billion
right
to make.
So like, we're never going to get money back. Well, someone just thought of that about 10 years ago.
It's like it's only been open like 8 months. Like the first shows were in like November.
They have we talked about this, I think, but they've got an ongoing, a thing that you can see in there when there's not concerts. Like it's an ongoing, like a big nature special or something.
Yeah.
And you can go in there and get this totally immersive, it's like an IMAX, but 8 million times better, I guess, with this music and all this fantastic video of ocean stuff and mountains. They say it's really worth seeing. It's like, I don't know, it's like $10 or $15 or something to go in there. In other words, while it's empty and no concert, get some people in there.
Get some people in there. Absolutely.
Social some shit.
I want to go and see like there. There's like an underwater like aquatic.
Yeah.
Life.
I'd love
kind
to
of
see
thing.
That. I'd love to go up there. We got to think about that when we go to Vegas next time and just see what's playing. When you know what I mean, and just go while we're going shopping and eating and doing whatever. Let's go do one of those shows.
Taking a show at the Sphere.
At the Sphere.
I saw
the orb.
Some clips of
just like that. There it is.
I mean, look at the orb. I saw some clips of Fish, the jam band Fish, playing at the Sphere last week.
Oh, yeah, they were there, yeah.
I'm like, they're the perfect fucking band.
Okay.
They're the perfect band to play there. U2, they're big and bombastic, and yeah, that was cool for them to kick it off and everything. But Fish, if the Grateful Dead were still, I know Dead & Company, I think, is playing or has either just played there or has a residency next month.
Do you know how many, are they? Is Fish still, how many engagements or whatever did they have, Fish?
I think it was 4 shows.
Okay.
Yeah. And I saw video of it, like, this is fucking wild.
Yeah.
If you didn't take mushrooms to listen to Fish, which I don't know how else you could listen to them, You don't need them at the Sphere because it just they just kind of provide the trip for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it was I was like, holy fuck.
It's like, would you want to take mushrooms and go to the Sphere? Would that be totally overload? You think?
I would do it because I'm an overload kind of guy.
Yeah.
No, I would like to go and go and see how immersive it is first,
right?
And then base my dosage on that.
get like a baseline.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to get a baseline first. A control group, as it were.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a break?
Sure.
Let's take a break. We'll be back.
Hypnotized Minds Productions presents. Yeah. New Project Pack. Project Pack. It's going down. Good googly moogly. That thing is juicy. 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 That's snapping with some rhino legs and a booty that's flapping with some bio head, cause you know we love capping. Got a toes done up with her fingernails matching. Girl, that big old butt that you walk across the street with. Peep this for a happy meal. Can I squeeze it till it gon' pop? Make the juice start to running out. Greasy lips thick like a moose. What I'm talking about, them freaky freaks I heard on the loose. Snatch your pockets, I got trick niggas watching your caboose with they wallets out. Something bad to the bone. That ain't a monkey hanging off your back. That's Donkey Kong. Good googly moogly. That thing is juicy. 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 Around with all that, saying you ain't all that. Everybody at you wanna hit you like a ball bat. That thing make you look back, be like, man, who is that? You can say a hiney on a hiney. I'm pursuing that, a dirty south hoodie rat, trying to hold goodies back. Waist like a waltz, but cheeks poking really fat. I'm Crown Vic, old school, squeezing on a boo boo, hugged up, talking in a brain. So what you wanna do? Nice test on your body, liquor coming out your pores.
I got to talking off air about cultural shifts and how, well, it started with a comment from quoting Forrest Gump about the raccoons thing. The coons get the back porch. Mama just sweep away with the broom, and they're not talking about raccoons. It was the other guy who was talking about a little black girl wanted to go to school and so on and so forth. And it was, you know, the like kind of the beginning of desegregation in the South. And
when I said that wasn't really
it
that
really wasn't,
long ago.
It's not fucking ancient history. It's 55 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago in the grand scheme of things. And then I was talking with my folks the other day about cultural shifts and what they've seen, because my stepdad's 65, my mom is 69. She'll be 70 this year. Mm-hmm. And in her almost 70 years on this earth, she's gone from like, full-blown segregation existed 100 miles from where she grew up, not even 100 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And to the infancy of jets to the, mm-hmm. you know, see, and when, like, when my mom was born, we hadn't put a person into space. And why we, I don't mean the United States, I mean the fucking world.
Right.
And within her, from birth to 10 years old, you had the Beatles, first man in orbit, first man in space, so on and so forth, the beginning of the Apollo space program, all of these huge, and the beginning stages of Vietnam, because right. she was born in 54.
Right.
So 1964, you know.
When the U.S. got involved.
Yeah. And just the things that she's seen, and my stepdad was saying the same. He's just a little bit younger, but he has a, it's enough younger than her that he has a different perspective, because when my mom was old enough to be out and single and or dating somebody and go out to disco and do this, do that, my stepdad would have been in high school and saying, fuck disco sucks and all that shit. Right. So like they have those just enough of a span in between their experience years, so to speak.
Right.
And then I started talking about like what I, when I really became aware was around 1990.
Mm-hmm.
I remember our bus driver's name was Bruce, who's this grizzled old fart whose farm failed for whatever reason. So he decided to drive a bus and just abuse kids. Mm-hmm. I don't mean sexually abuse. I mean, he just right. verbally abused everybody.
Right.
And he was, you know, he wasn't, didn't single anybody out. Everybody was a fucking target.
Equal yeah. opportunity.
But I remember Bruce, the bus driver, turning down the radio, turning up the radio, telling us kids to shut up because this is history in the making, and it was about the Berlin Wall falling.
Oh.
Like, I remember where I was when that's like the first real historical event that I remember happening.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of remember my dad.
Lisa McEmmer, Miss Bondo chick, she flew to, when it was all starting to happen, they had money. She flew to Berlin to experience it.
I fucking would have too if I could have.
Yeah.
I went to elementary and school, junior high school, with a girl named Bethany. I think it was her name. Bethany. Yeah, something like that. Bethany. And her dad was from Germany, was actually German.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to visit, like, I want to say it was like a year afterward.
Mm-hmm.
And his like brother was there helping tear down the wall, and he saved a big chunk of it, and it was in like a big chunk.
Yeah, she had a piece of it.
And then Bethany was given a chunk with it, still had some graffiti, and she brought it into sixth grade, like show and tell kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
which was insanely cool.
Yeah.
But she had Polaroids of her uncle's chunk of it, and it's not a chunk, like it would fill the bed of my truck.
Wow.
It's like a 6 foot by 3 foot.
Well, he really got a piece.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't fucking around. His whole idea was to make a table out of it.
Sure.
Which I thought was, I still, 30 some odd years later, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was like the first like cultural like milestone that I remember happening in real time.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I kind of remember the day the Challenger explosion, because I was so obsessed with the space shuttle.
Right.
That I didn't watch the launch because I was in like preschool.
Mm-hmm.
But when my dad picked me up and he told me and said, "Hey son, I need to let you know the space shuttle. Remember the space shuttle launch you missed this morning?" I said, "Yeah. Do you think they'll show it on TV?" They're like, "I remember asking him that." And he said, "Son, it blew up. It didn't make it to space." I remember that feeling,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really remember any details of that day. I remember all the details from when I was like, you know, a few years later, like 3-4 years later. I remember all the details of the Berlin Wall fell and stuff like that.
I was in that. Go ahead. I was going to say. We heard it would break on one of the a music station.
Yeah.
And Bill, my business partner at the time, had a small black and white TV. We're at this kind of body shop thing. We were doing stuff for Domino's Pizza and different things. And he just happened to have a old black and white TV in a box. We got that fucker out, you know, and just got the regular old aluminum foil antenna thing going. And then we were watching it most of the fucking day at that point, you know.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the gravity of it until much later,
mm-hmm.
of how divisive that wall was, how big of a deal it is to reunify Germany. And then it was the beginning of the fall of communism and the like Russian or Soviet communism and all that.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. And then, you know, there's other... But the cultural shifts that have happened, it feels like they're happening more frequently,
right?
And they're bigger.
Well, and you brought up something about the music and when the hair metal went away, and then grunge came in and kind of kicked it to the curb.
Really, really, just said, "Hey, thanks for nothing. Please, we're going to move forward.
And then I told you about, I remember, I don't remember where I was, you know, it happened pretty quickly, but I remember how old I was. And this is more younger people, but I was about 10 years, a little bit too old for that music. It was a little bit younger, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I latched onto it because I did not like what was going on. And that's what I really got into. I remember how it felt. I'm going, thank fucking God we have this new music that sounds like it'd be fun to look at these bands, garage band or whatever they call it, stuff, you know, garage rock. But yeah, there was so many places that you could watch that kind of music. It was creeping up, and it was a lot of fun. You know, I will never forget. I'll never forget how I felt like, thank God we've got a change in music, you know, for now. And
yeah.
All this stuff happened, and it's still kind of out there now. You know, but it's morphed a little bit, obviously, from the way it was.
Oh, well,
in the 90s,
that paved the way. They independent type rock artists,
mm-hmm.
or musicians in the early 90s to the throughout the mid and then even late 90s opened up the door for so much.
Mm-hmm.
But so did something. And this is a shout out to Dave Diaz, who, thanks for listening, still listening after all these years. I ran into on Sunday when the Rivals played at the park downtown. And I was reminded of this thing that Dave had told me. He goes, you know, Nirvana gets a lot of credit, Soundgarden, Smashing Pumpkins to a lesser degree, this and that, and the other, these bands. But Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Nobody ever talks about how monumental of a release Dr. Dre's The Chronic was.
Oh, yeah.
And he told me that probably 8 or 9 years ago, 10 years ago, and I thought, holy shit, he's fucking right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that opened up that type of hip hop. First off, it was a new sound. It was completely different. The only thing comparable would be a few years later when Outkast, Atlanta Locals, dropped their first album, which was also completely bonkers, super funky, but it was more like old soul rather than like Parliament Funkadelic samples, like that 70s era. And but he was right. That was a cultural touchstone, man. That was a bit. There was hip hop and rap before The Chronic, and then after, and it fucking blew everyone's hair back. Like, holy shit.
Well, and you pointed out too, you know, we have that person we know from Seattle, Kent Baca, who was heavily involved in the coffee industry, and he told you effectively that there was before grunge and after grunge.
When it came to Seattle, changed the landscape of Seattle, literally and figuratively.
And I didn't really, it made sense to me, but you gave a couple examples. Like he said, there was only a dozen places to watch music in small venues around
Seattle.
Live
music in bars wasn't, it was a thing, but it was mostly in neighborhoods and small, very small venues. Now there's over 1,000 of them.
Right.
Where you can watch all kinds of
small
music,
live music venues. It just kind of flipped it around. And you pointed out, too, there wasn't like a lot of bands didn't tour up in Seattle.
Yeah, that was another thing that he had said that I ended up looking into later on. Was like, holy shit, no wonder that the Seattle sound became very, not distinctive, but because like you listen to Nirvana and Soundgarden, those are not this, and Pearl Jam, those are three very different bands.
That's correct.
That sound very,
they
very
sound,
different.
They're not copying each other, really.
Exactly. That's and the whole joke goes that the whole grunge thing and it came from, I can't remember. It was Eddie Vedder gave an, or no. It was some woman at Sub Pop Records.
Okay.
Got a phone call from like the New Yorker or something like that. And gave a bunch of jokey answer, joking.
Like how you describe the music?
Well,
something.
Not even so much the music. It was like, well, what's the lingo? And made up a bunch of shit.
Oh, I think I saw this on a documentary or something.
It was so fucking funny.
Yeah,
it was so funny. Like the fake shit that she put in there.
But something stuck. I guess.
And a lot of it stuck. And like Eddie Vedder was quoted years later saying, "Man, I didn't wear flannel, and like flannel and." Like
boots.
Cut off cargo shorts and work boots because it was fashionable.
Yeah.
I wore that because it's cold in the morning and hot in the afternoon. And I was working as a roofer before Pearl Jam made it big, which was so fucking funny to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the quote unquote uniform when someone thinks of grunge.
Yeah.
And it's so dumb. He's like, it's Seattle. It's fucking cold. And it was cold in the morning, even the summertime. But yeah, those cultural moments. And then later on, like YouTube is a big one. Like I remember the internet. A lot of people around just for whatever reason don't remember the internet before YouTube. Like and were heavy users. I was a heavy user of the internet.
Yeah.
beginning in around 2001. And that was when I was going through.
When did YouTube start?
2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember who owned it. And then, of course, Google bought it, whatever.
Yeah, it was. I think it was two dudes that started it. And then Google bought it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the
2005.
Yeah, 2005.
That's the dude when the dudes were doing it. Those two dudes.
Like the first uploaded video was like elephant at the zoo or something like that. Have you ever seen that video?
No.
Yeah, and it like the upload date is like July of 2005 or some shit.
Okay.
I mean, there were videos on the internet, but they were all kind of you had to have high speed internet, which in 2005 was we had it in Kingman, but then people at universities had access to it. But man, it wasn't that prevalent to have DSL or cable
that
was lightning fucking fast.
Yeah,
it was prevalent, but in the big cities. But not all the content on the internet is created by people in the big cities, and they just didn't have the ability to upload high quality video and what. I'm sure I'll get a text from Josh Gagneau about how I'm wrong about something, but. That's how I remember it. But I remember becoming a heavy user around 2001, and from 2001 to 2005, before YouTube came about, it was mostly text and picture based everything,
and
GIFs and all that.
Yeah.
And then, I'd kind of forgotten about a lot of this stuff. But I watched the documentary about 4chan that's on Netflix.
Dude, you talked about it. I watched it too.
Did you?
Holy shit!
Yeah.
I mean, it really. The way it goes through is a good story of how this evolved or devolved, if you want to say it,
and then
culminating in January 6th.
Yeah. And then QAnon stuff.
Yeah.
I knew that. I'm like, this reeks of 4chan. It just fucking reeks of a 4chan joke gone wild.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
So fucking funny. And it fleeced so many people.
That's not funny, but they were talking about that some of the people that were involved with getting it really rolling, they felt bad. They said, holy shit, this has now gone.
It's gone.
You know, like, we got to do something about this.
Yeah.
And then they're not really doing. No one has gone really. Let's just say that it is all fake and a joke and all that. Why isn't there, like, just for the fuck of it, a congressional hearing wide ass open and say, yeah, this was a joke. Yeah, this just letting you guys know. This was a freaking joke, and people grabbed onto it and latched on, and away it went. I've never seen a public hearing like that.
No.
I'm not saying someone's going to be charged or thrown in jail, but it's never been made super public like that. Like, yeah, these are the guys that were involved, and sometimes the FBI came and raided some of these people's places.
Yeah.
But I don't think they didn't get thrown in jail, did they?
There was a few, I think three of them in that documentary went to jail of some sort. One guy was still in prison while they were filming
it. But some of these jokes obviously have gone way too far, and people have gotten hurt and beyond.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably Gabby Giffords is one of those people that could be as a result of shit going too far, you know, with social media and just who knows if that guy, whatever his name is, who shot her and a bunch of people down there was involved in 4chan stuff at that point.
Probably not.
Maybe not. Okay.
I would venture a guess to say most likely not.
Okay.
4chan people are not people going out and doing things.
No. I'm not saying he's part of it, but these rumors would start and things would happen. And one of these 4chan conventions you saw, people were starting to do the neo-Nazi they're doing the high Hitler thing as a joke.
Yeah.
You know, but then video came out and stuff. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
then,
I do.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Now we're rolling with the Nazis. You know, that's a popular thing to do now. Whatever. I'm just saying if it did start as a joke and got way out of hand, which it has, like you pointed out with QAnon, why not make it super, super, super public? Like, this is not... You people got this all wrong. These were
jokes.
It's
probably because it would be like shouting into an abyss.
I guess. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just wouldn't. Nothing would come from it.
Yeah.
That documentary. I was like, it dredged up a whole lot of old memories for sure. Jesus Christ.
In fact, I rewatched part of it because part of it I had to do something and I came back and then I went, all right, I'm not going to finish watching this tonight. I'll pick this up tomorrow afternoon. You know, so I don't get derailed during work or whatever. But yeah, a lot of it was like. Wow. And there's only just a few dudes, you know. I didn't know Anonymous came out of that.
Yep.
I thought Anonymous really was a little bit bigger and more it's just a few people that were fucking around that they decided who they wanted to fuck
with. It started off with just a handful.
Yeah. Because it got shut out of some other, out of 4chan, and they said, well, fuck it, we're going to do. Someone got pissed off and said, that's our job is to get the people, whatever, so they started anonymous. Someone did.
Yeah.
I have to watch it again.
It was a handful of someone's that yeah. started it, but then it was literally, it just turned into this huge thing.
Yeah.
Where they thought, oh, we're going to have a protest at these you know, Scientology centers, and then hundreds and hundreds of people would show up.
Yeah.
At all over the world.
At least they did pick some good things to pick yeah. on. Like, it was that fucking church guy in Kansas that...
Oh my God. Fred Phelps.
Yeah.
Oh my yeah, God. they went after Fred Phelps. See,
which
that's
he deserved it.
4chan has done some bad shit, but they've right. also done... I was kind of bummed that they didn't... It was just a brief, like, blurb in that documentary. Was all of the missing people... and kidnapped people that they've found. And right. I mean, it's over a dozen.
Yeah.
Because you just get this hive mind of computer nerds in there that just, like, based off of whatever little evidence,
they'll run with it.
Yeah, they're essentially tech researchers, like amateur
staying up all night.
Sleuths.
What are they hopped up on? What kind of drink are they hopped on all night? Fucking, these things?
It's some sort of energy drink, probably.
What would be the...
Fizzy lifting drinks.
Say again?
Fizzy lifting drinks.
Fizzy lifting drinks. What would be the prototypical... drink that a hacker dude on Anonymous would be drinking? Could
probably
be like Mountain Dew. Is it beyond Mountain Dew?
Full
sure
strength. Oh, it's way beyond Mountain Dew. That's for D&D sessions.
Okay.
Those
are session.
It should
those
be,
are session drinks.
It should be Balls brand caffeinated beverage, which is, I don't even know if they still make it anymore, but my buddy Josh, who listens to the podcast mm-hmm. occasionally and gives me feedback in the form of 15 text messages telling me how wrong I am. Balls, BAWLS.
Ow my balls.
he was a big proponent of that, and it was like, I feel like it was only over in Europe, and he somehow acquired a case of it, and he gave me one. I'm like, this is really good, and then I found it at Target, like 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Holy shit, they have balls here.
Holy, did you say that out
but
loud?
But it's like 200.
Holy shit, they have balls.
I think it's like, yeah, I probably did. It's like 200 milligrams of caffeine in like a 12-ounce soda bottle.
That doesn't
sound
illegal in Europe because they're kind of backing off on some of these crazy energy drinks.
I mean, that's
there.
That's not that crazy anymore. Bang was 300.
That's true.
I like Bangs. They're basically gone
that's
now.
It's like discovering Rooster Booster or something at Quick Trip.
Rooster Booster in the 64-ounce cup.
I had a late night working on aircrafts, airplanesies on Rooster Booster because a Quick Trip just opened up down the road.
Just bending
me.
Plastic on airplanes.
They were 24 hours ago. Hey, it's 2 a.m. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to get another big quart of fucking Rooster Booster.
A quart?
Well, this big monster.
How many hectoliters are you getting, Mr. Gaines?
All right, what would be the prototypical junk food that a hacker would be munching on all night while they're...
Why are you asking me
this? I don't
know. Like, I fucking...
I don't know. We're talking about...
Like, my thumb is up my ass. It's not on the pulse of the hacker nation. I don't know, man. These days, it could be protein bars and sugar-free Red Bull.
That's true.
Because it used to be fucking ho-hos or Swiss rolls.
And kind of softening out a little bit around the edges.
Yeah, because the early 20s hackers from 20 years ago are now in their 40s, and they're on blood pressure meds, so right. they have to dial it back. They're drinking sugar-free, caffeine-free Pepsi,
right?
Which is like the saddest fucking drink ever.
Yeah, what's the name of the show, the documentary?
The Antisocial Network.
Folks, you should really, if you want to really, I don't know if I'd call it scary or what, but it's like.
It'll terrify the average consumer of the internet. They'll be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because they didn't even go into half the shit that is 4chan's known for. Because that's the thing that a lot of people don't get is that most of the news that ever came out about 4chan had to do with one message or one image board.
Yeah.
There's like 75 image boards that are associated with that.
But yeah, one caught and it got the attention, like you said.
Yeah, well, it's one is just random.
Yeah.
And it's slash B, and there's so much. Dude, I'm telling you, some of the funniest, most creative people on the internet are on that fucking image board, but also some of the most depraved, maniacal, deep-seated fucking problem type people are also on that image board.
Right.
And I know one of our listeners, Trace, knows exactly what I'm talking about. There's gore, there's sex stories, there's all sorts of weird shit. And that's where Rick Rolling came from. Did you know that?
I saw that. It talked about that.
And it was initially, in its infancy, it was called Duck Rolling. You would send someone a link, and it was like a duck with a duck. Wheels on it. That was duck. Yeah. I remember that. You got duck rolled.
Yeah.
And then very quickly thereafter, it was you know, like, hey, check this out. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, never going to give you up. And like, fuck, I got Rick rolled again.
Yeah.
Which is such a stupid thing that it is still a thing.
It still exists. It's still going around. Yeah.
And then the anonymous thing, which I was totally behind. And I'm not going to lie. Like, when that started going on, when it got really rolling, when they were doing the anti-Scientology stuff, they had multiple levels to that. There were protests.
Yeah, they're the ones that got that exposed. They got some video from inside somehow and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was, they didn't get the video. That. The video leaked and was on YouTube.
Right.
And then Anonymous, those guys kind of got a hold of it. They're like, oh, fuck. Oh, we got to do something about this shit.
Right.
And
but somehow it never toppled Tom Cruise.
No. I mean, he's on. You can't topple that mountain. You just can't. You got to climb it and just wait. But one of the subversive let's drain them dry as much as possible is I found on 4chan, they listed a whole bunch of anonymous. They listed a whole bunch of, the fax machine phone numbers for all around the world, for all the Scientology offices and their fax numbers. And they also, the person who posted that provided a link to a high definition, 8.5 by 11, essentially photo that you could print out, and it was just solid black to make them all run out of their ink faster.
So it just take so much ink, like you said, to print, time.
It sounds like a dumbass idea, and it kind of is.
But it's kind of
brilliant
at the
same
time.
Until you think about the fact that if you're just patient, and if you have a computer, if you have a fax machine that's hooked up to a computer, you can very easily just within 5 minutes send that fax to
that one fax you send.
That one fax goes to 200 different fax machines.
Yeah,
and if they get a few thousand people do that, that's exactly what happens. And they ended up tying up the phone lines. The LA one, the main, their big fucking spaceship out in the desert in Las Vegas, New Mexico, and I think they're all of their New York offices, like the Scientology centers or whatever. They had to cut their phone lines down for like 48 hours because they were just inundated.
Yeah. How did they go after that goofy church? I can't remember.
I honestly can't remember.
I remember when I heard about
there
it.
There are many different ways.
Good. You know, because it was like those motherfuckers. Oh, God. They were protesting. That group was out there protesting when Steve and I went to Austin for the first Formula One race that was.
Oh yeah,
they were at the major intersection out there, with walking around the cars and stuff with their big.
Did you see what the Foo Fighters did when they
Foo Fighters?
The Foo Fighters. I don't remember where they were. It must have been somewhere in the Kansas, North Texas area, something
close to that area.
Close to that area, close enough that they were willing to drive to a Foo Fighters concert and protest.
Okay.
Dave Grohl found somebody local to pull him and the rest of the Foo Fighters around on a flatbed trailer and just aimed amplifiers at those guys and rocked the fuck out until the crowd dispersed.
Wow.
Another cool anti-protest I saw, and it was because they would protest veterans' funerals. Man.
Oh, yeah. Like, I forgot about that.
I'm all for freedom of speech because I'm not going to tell you can't say shit that I disagree with because there's a fine line between then me being restricted. So I'm not going to say that.
They definitely crossed the line a few times.
That's crossing a fucking line to me.
And I forgot about that.
I love the bikers. There's a formation of biker, not gangs, but motorcycle clubs that will just go around and mobilize these clubs. They all work together all around the United States. If someone's going to cause some trouble at a veteran's funeral, they go there,
right?
And just as a show of force, and a couple hundred bikers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I saw a video of them just lining up and surrounding those protesters and just revving their bikes.
Yeah.
Until they just couldn't handle the noise anymore.
Freedom of speech, man.
Yeah.
You guys
exactly.
started it.
Loud pipes save lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I love that shit. I do.
Now, I think the old what's his name again? Jim Jefferies.
The
Jim
comedian.
Jefferies.
Good day, mate. The Australian comedian, or are you talking about the American Fred Phelps?
Why did I say Jim Jefferies? Who am I thinking of?
I don't know why you were thinking of
Jeffries or some Jim was another. Was he the crazy Mormon guy and
the strip up there? Was that a Jeffries? Why, what am I conflating here?
Okay, you're conflating all sorts of shit. My fucking brain is hurting with all the people that are coming to mind. Jim Jeffries is a comedian from Australia.
I remember that.
Hilarious,
now, yes.
Right?
Very
okay.
funny guy. Yes.
Very funny guy. Warren Jeffs.
Warren
was the
that's what it was.
FLDS leader that went to prison for child
yes.
weddings and all that stuff.
Yes.
It was from Mojave County.
Yes.
And then Jim Jones.
Jim Jones. Why?
Was a religious leader in Guyana.
Man.
That gave. They always say drink the Kool-Aid. It was actually Flavor Aid.
You
that
should see,
poisoned all these
you
people.
You know those kind of connect the dots with yarn on the wall
that's
kind of
thing?
That's
twice now in two episodes that you've brought that up. Like connecting those. Like
yes.
Pepe Silvia. If you ever. Before I leave tonight, we're going to watch the Pepe Silvia bit from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And it's like Charlie. One of the goofy main characters on Sunny has got one of those boards. He's trying to figure out
right.
who the hell's Pepe Silvia? Who's Pepe Silvia? There is no Pepe Silvia. Check this. And it's like, what? But that's kind of how it is. Like after 10 years of being your friend, I feel like sometimes I'm the one doing the connecting
yes,
with
you
the
are.
Yarn
yeah,
to figure out the fuck you're talking
piece
about.
Piece together or tear it down.
You know that,
one
that one religious nut, Jim Jeffries. What? Oh, you mean
anyway,
Warren Jeffs? Oh, no, not him either.
Not Warren Jeffs. Now you...
Fred Phelps.
That's alliteration. Just remember Fred Phelps. It's just easy. Anyway...
It should be.
Yeah. Why... he, like... That's why he went away. Didn't he die and
he
then
died.
His daughter...
He died and a couple of his daughters
or
his granddaughters...
Said, fuck this.
I think one of them had left before he died.
Yeah,
and then he died
right.
and
yeah.
shit started to fall apart. You don't even really hear about him
and
anymore.
And that was... They're done.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, did you know that the
Jesus,
across
God.
The street from their church in wherever it is, Bumblefuck, Kansas?
Yeah.
Across the street from their church is an LGBTQ like activity center, and it is painted rainbow colors.
Did they
directly
put it there
across
on purpose?
The street? Fuck,
they,
of course they did. They're all like, oh, you know what? This is a great spot. It's got nice trees. There's,
and
school,
it's
there's schools
taxes,
nearby.
It's cheap.
Jesus, taxes are great. Oh, and there's this cute little church across the street. I bet they're welcoming. No, it wasn't like that. I'm sure it was on purpose.
Oh, that's so
funny. And then
funny.
They painted it super fucking gaudy, like rainbow flags and shit. I'd like, thank you. That's fucking great.
That is so funny.
Yeah. Fucking Fred Phelps.
I have a question.
Warren
Jeffs. I know we'll be probably signing off not too much longer. Are we going to be recording next week, do you think?
Probably.
Because there's a lot of stuff going on next week and next weekend. Because I was going to say, we need to promote First Friday, or we're not going to do that yet, or the Fun Run. We will be recording next
week.
Are
we promoting Mike and Julia's wedding?
We can.
On
but
May,
unless
on
you're
May
invited,
4th.
You can't go, I guess. Well, you can go.
It's going to be the party of the decade.
Right.
It really is. This place will have everything.
Right. You think Fred Phelps is a partier?
This is going to be a Jim Jones level party.
That's right. We're drinking some Kool-Aid up there.
I've got
people.
Pounds of cyanide. No, it's going to be I'm excited. I'm the officiant. So
yeah,
like I'm excited about that. I just think that's really cool, and I wrote up a really nice piece. But also it's like the whole place is going to be just people that I fucking adore, and I can't wait. It's going to be a
right.
giant party.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at my house that I have to clean up.
That's really
with a
great.
Ton of cool people.
Yeah.
Like if you just break it down, like
we know the music, we know the caterer, we know everybody.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, everybody.
We know the people getting married. That's good.
Yeah, it's always good. It's always good. I would have crashed it anyway.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't invited, I'd have been like, I'm going to show up anyway, just so you know. I'll be camping up in the woods.
Also, by the way, this is a Wednesday night. Normally would have already dropped 24 hours ago or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I had a delay.
Are we going to do it? Are we going to go and drop it? You're going to drop it tonight?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. My birthday's Friday.
It
so.
Is. Also, you're 57 years old.
57. 57 this year.
Yeah.
57.
Congratulations.
Jesus.
You look pretty damn good for being
Thank
57.
You. Thank you.
How you're 40 something.
43.
Okay.
I'll be 43 on Friday.
43.
81, baby. That's
congratulations.
What's up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I made it. I'm right at on the cusp of 13 years past the time that I thought I was going to survive.
Okay.
I literally thought like in my
did
my
30 years old was
about
it for
30
you?
Was going to be it. I was so self-destructive.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, just self, just it's like really, really bad. When I say that I wake up every day and I feel better now than I did at like 22, 23.
It's absolute truth.
I'm not even fucking joking. Less pain because I'm eating. I don't eat that great, but I don't eat fucking horrible like I did back then.
Yeah.
I weigh less.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I have a better outlook on things. And I was also, like, in my early 20s, I was a young dad, and I just wasn't prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you had, like a lot of people, you had a lot of course corrections or deviations that were taking place.
Yes.
When you were
a lot
much
of
younger.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and you're past all that now, and you've got a great daughter who's successful and
she's
worked
right.
hard. And
she's okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't give her a lot of credit. You're right. She probably does something really bad we don't know about.
I think,
you know?
I've been saying that since
right.
she was like 15.
Like, you can't be
like
her without.
She, if it came out tomorrow that she's like, hey, Dad, listen, I got to tell you, like, I've been lacing a lot of drugs with fentanyl just because I don't like most of these people.
Yeah.
I would be like, fucking finally,
came out.
Finally, there's a chink in the armor. There's finally, there's a fucking something not perfect about you.
Be a watershed moment for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like, I fucking knew it. I knew it. I knew it 10 years ago. Nobody is that fucking perfect.
So I feel, speaking of, you said you feel better now overall, but like in general, like, you know, it's warmer out here. I feel like $10 at least.
I feel like 10, maybe
like
even
$10.
Like with a $2 tip.
Yeah. And because, again, that product out there, we had some business hiccups here with, which I won't get into, that's we're getting through.
Yeah.
And it's we're surviving and fixing some things. I feel pretty good about that. Business wise, things are going well. And the big project out there, downtown's getting all fixed up. You know, it's just things are just kind of on an upward trend, it
yeah.
seems overall. And I just feel pretty good too right now.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've felt. It's been a while.
Oh, God. Again, with the Stained. Always, yeah. Always with the Stained.
I know. And you said I had a beer with that guy. So
I did.
There you have it.
Warren Jeffs. No.
It was Warren Jeffs. He had a.
Jim Jeffries. Also, not Jim Jeffries. See, now I can't remember his name.
Oh, Aaron.
Aaron Lewis.
Aaron Copeland. Not Aaron Copeland.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Aaron Copeland. Aaron Copeland is the singer and key songwriter in the band known as Stained. Aaron Copeland.
Is Aaron Copeland dead?
I hope so.
He probably must be
if
dead.
If he's not, he's real unhappy. He's scratching
really
at the inside
old.
Of his coffin.
He's got to be really,
Aaron
old.
Copeland would be like 130 years old if he were
it's
alive.
It's possible.
No, I think he was born in like 1900.
Look it up.
Oh, look it up.
Before we sign off.
It's like fucking Aaron Copeland. Aaron Burr? Maybe it was Aaron Burr?
Aaron Burr. Aaron Copeland.
Aaron.
Oh, on the screen says abortion battle. Like a bunch of abortions are out there duking it out.
He was born in 1900 and died in 1990. He was 90 years old when he died.
So he never really got to appreciate grunge either. He never.
Or maybe he did, and he was reincarnated as Aaron Lewis from Stained. Probably not.
That's overlap there.
Speaking
so that
of Stained, because Stained was on the same, they were on the same record label as, like, it was Fred Durst's, like, record mm-hmm. label. They were on the same record label as the, oh my God, I lost the name of the band. They covered Nirvana, and it was, like, the worst you've ever heard.
Oh, Puddle of
Mud.
Fish.
Puddle of Mud. Puddle of Jim Jeffries. Jim Jones and the Puddle Monsters.
I had never heard of that. Remember, that's when actually Kevin was here working with us a little bit, and he was one that brought that up, and you'd heard of it, of course, because everybody had but me, when that cover, when they were doing that, and I thought, this has to be a joke.
Yeah.
And you guys are going, no, it's not
this
a joke.
This is serious. This was recorded for a radio station.
Met a Girl is the song, right?
About a girl.
About, not Met a Girl. About something. About Last Night. No,
it happened one. It happened one night?
It happened one night, yeah. No.
One night at McCool's?
And it's occasionally, like every few months, I might go check it out just so I can have a good belly laugh when they're.
If you really need a pick me up, there's a handful of those videos for me. Like that
right.
one.
That's kind of a go to at some point.
This one, it's actually an old, and I hope Trace remembers this. It's an old GIF that got thrown onto 4chan probably 20 years ago, and it's this like real hefty lady on like a medium sized dirt bike, mm-hmm. and she just. Tries to go over this jump, but she
yeah.
doesn't go fast enough. She just rolls over it,
yeah.
and she gets scared and locks up her hand and goes over the handlebars, but it's in slow motion and just like
over the handlebars and
just so fucking funny. Like, I could just watch that over and over again. Or kids getting hurt is always funny.
Right. Like in the face with a volleyball or something
yeah.
and get knocked over and that kind of thing. As long as there's no decapitation going on or something.
No, I don't want the kids to get actually like super
really hurt.
But it is funny when kids fuck around and find out because that's like the...
That's how you learn.
That is exactly how you learn.
Yeah.
That's how you learn how, like, maybe you should wear a helmet when you ride a bike.
Right.
Yeah.
Falling off. All right, we done?
Yeah, I think that's it. Folks, have a great week, and we'll catch you next time.